You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
He was born on a summer day, 1951.
What's your favorite song, Rage?
Oh, sorry, my mic wasn't working. I love this song. I've really grown to appreciate it.
I'm glad. Neil Gelman, the sexy Gelman, is with us right now. Neil, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
How are you, buddy?
Doing
well.
You
know why you think I'm sexy? Because we look alike.
I know. It's like looking in a sexy mirror is what it's like.
Exactly.
I know what I would look like if I were 6 foot two and thin, so. Doing well. So let me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The kids are great. Phoebe's on an adventure out of state, so can't complain at all.
Nice.
Let me ask you the question that you get asked every cocktail party you go to. Yep. How is the St. Louis market?
It's unbelievable. So let me give you, I'll give you some real quick stats. So inventory is still the issue, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So active number of listings in St. Louis County are down year over year 16%.
Mm-hmm.
St. Charles County down year over year 22%, okay? Number of sales in St. Charles County and St. Louis County are down very similar, about 33%, okay? But medium sale prices are up considerably. In St. Louis County, they're up around 18.5%. St. Charles is up about 7%. And, you know, keep in mind that varies by price point, by neighborhood and area as well.
So nationally, I'm hearing that it's flat. And what I have been saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, in my lives for you guys, is that it's still fair in St. Louis. And I really, truly mean this. It's not just because you guys, you know, employ me. That the more even it is, the better the realtor you need. The same way that if you have a complicated medical issue, you need the best doctor you can find. And when it's a complicated up 20 this, down 18 that, you need the best realtor you can get.
Agreed. And I'll tell you, so really quick on national stats, so you understand. So in 2021, it was peak of the market, 8 million sales on a national level, 24 and 25, 4 million homes sold. We're actually trending, Dave, below 4 million this year, sitting at about 3.8%. And that being said, what there is right now in the market is a huge disconnect between buyers and sellers. Even though it is a true seller's market, when you look at the economics, the buyers still have control. So in order to get top dollar, you need to prepare your home for sale, price it accordingly, and then market the heck out of this and cast the broadest net, which is what we do. You know, we always like to say we're a marketing team that happens to focus on real estate.
Yeah. And again, I talk about you guys several times a week and I do my best in 60 seconds. But when I say that the Gelman team, eXp Realty, have resources that other realtors just don't have, can you kind of describe what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. So when it comes to, for example, the luxury market, okay, which is in St. Louis with eXp is over 750,000. We're the only realtor that's going to put your house in the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, Robb Report, Upmarket, Global's Mansion, et cetera. And you're looking at some of these publications that have over 40 million unique visitors a month. In addition, we're the only brokerage in the United States. It's part of the international MLS, which is over 120 countries, and the only brokerage that's part of the Zillow of China. So, you know, you never know where your buyer's coming from, but we cast the broadest net. And that's definitely what differentiates us And we're having a record year on luxury. We had a record year last year when it comes to luxury as well. However, we handle every price point. And, you know, even though the market's down significantly, we are actually having the best year in the history of our company.
How's the Bean Brother doing?
Everybody's doing great.
Good.
Everybody's doing great.
You know,
we're building the team. You know, we're looking at adding good quality agents, and you know, we're just fine tuning everything we do. You know, since what's interesting, Dave, is since COVID and since inventory has declined significantly, most agents aren't spending much money at all. They figure they can put a sign in the yard, it's going to sell quick. Problem is, if it doesn't sell quick, what do? The Gelman team, on the other hand, we've actually probably doubled, if not more, our marketing budget for our properties. We don't ever want to take anything for granted.
If you guys want to find out what the Gelman team thinks your house is worth, you just go to the front page of thegelmanteam.com, put in your address, they'll give you a number. And if you are moved by that number, it's exciting to you or it pisses you off, either way, you can call the guys and have a one-on-one conversation, 314-336-1991. Neil, let's get together soon.
Dave, great to talk to you. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
Good guys. I like those guys. Let me complain about something. I haven't done that in 8 minutes. As you know, the roads in St. Louis are terrible. They're just terrible. And, you know, me and the guys, we're down. I don't live downtown, but I say I live downtown because I'm down here all day, every day. And it's just awful. You know what's worse? Illinois. And I'm an Illinois guy, East Side guy, born and bred, proud to be. I think some of the nicest neighborhoods and communities and towns in our metro area are across the river in Illinois. But man, if you drive out of downtown, down 70, 64, you know, heading off to O'Fallon or Wood River or something like that, I know I'm driving a Jeep, which is a rattle trap, right? Just shakes your fillings out. But oh my God. Have you guys, you know, going back to Illinois, have you clocked this, just how bad the roads are? No?
I mean, I always take Route 3. That's like the main way I take, and like, it's fine to me.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I take Route 3 every day. It's fine. I mean, it's not great.
Yeah,
but
I'm not like, I can't wait for my luxurious, smooth ride, but like, I don't notice that it's unpleasant.
None of the...
Let me take you for a ride in the Jeep.
Missouri.
Well, the Jeep is different. Yeah, the Jeep, you do. It's bumpy.
Yeah, I feel the bumps quite a bit.
It's like the princess and the pea.
Yeah.
Am I the pea?
The Dave and the Jeep. That's how we know it's truly Dave, if he can.
I'm just a tiny little pea. That's all I am.
That's it. That's Dave.
This will piss some people off, but the Vatican has just reiterated and refused a request from within the church to allow females to give sermons. So for all of Catholicism that I know about, and I'm certainly not an expert, it's always been a male who is a ordained priest or a deacon. And people are saying, hey, it's not 1026, it's 2026. And women are pretty smart and they have their own ideas. And maybe, just maybe, they would have a message that would edify the community. How about that? The Vatican's like, nope, it's the way it is. And I've said many times before that I think religions are like clubs. And if you belong to one, you should either follow the rules or try to change it from the inside. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not on the inside. And I don't have to follow any of their rules. But it just seems to me very anachronistic that we're still going by the interpretations of these writings from thousands of years ago, when women had clearly a different role in society. That has changed. I don't know why it would piss God off that females would have an opinion or be able to talk in front of a Catholic church, but evidently it would. Thoughts?
Doesn't make any sense. The problem is, these things were all quote unquote decided in a period of history where men did do all of those things. That's why it is the way it is. It's not for any good reason. It's not for any explainable quality reason. It's just because that's how it used to be. That's the explanation. And so, that's a terrible explanation. Well, that's the way it is because that's the way it used to be. If that was the case, then there would be all kinds of problems in the world. Like, slavery used to be. Glad it's not anymore in most places. I mean, it's very, you know, worldwide, yeah, it exists, but not near the level it did 200 years ago. Because we realize, yeah, that's bad. We probably don't, let's not do that anymore. But yet, we're just going to stick with this same old set of circumstances because that's what people decided whenever they decided it. Same thing with about priests getting married. They used to be able to get married. And then whatever it was, 1,000 years ago, they changed it. 1,500, I don't remember exactly when it was. They changed it. And well, because they decided that then, can't go back on that. Doesn't make any sense. It wasn't that way originally.
So the reason that's, I'm not a Catholic, but the theological reason that's given that I can find online right now, as far as like why women are not allowed to be priests, is that Jesus only selected men to be his apostles, and the priesthood is like an extension of apostleship. So they would just keep it to the men.
Right, except that people, again, centuries ago, decided to ignore the women in the Bible who had roles in Jesus's life, except for Mary, except for his mother, because there were other women. There are gospels written, at least one, by a woman that was not approved because the people making the decision thousands of years ago didn't think that women should have opinions or have a voice or be able to write a gospel.
Well, is that the same as apostleship, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it was somebody that was kept close,
well,
as
he
a
had
part
12
of the group,
apostles, his disciples, his apostles.
Right. But again, in that time, 2,000 years plus years ago, it was completely a male dominated society. A woman could only do whatever her father or husband allowed her to do in that time. So it was all done in that, within the scope of what the world was at that time. I don't know that we need to be making those decisions now the same way for the same reasons. Because the reasons back then, if you gave those reasons now, would sound ridiculous. You know, they can't think as straight as men. They're not as smart as men. Whatever. I mean, we all know that stuff's nonsense. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And the, you know, the fact that there's no real, like... qualitative reason to make this determination. It's just, well, it's the way it's always been. Okay. Well, that doesn't mean it was done. I mean, it was done in the context of its time, and then time changes. And you're allowed to adapt with that to better spread the word, which would be the point. Would you be better off or worse off with more people having the ability to spread the word? Would you be better off or worse off if more people could join the priesthood or would join the priesthood if they could be married and be a priest? What would be better for the organization? What would be better for spreading the word? Including more people in that process or eliminating people from that process?
The whole thing makes me feel cozier being an agnostic because it just sounds made up. I mean, let's just say it. It just does. Like a book was written in the Bronze Age. And now, millennia later, we're like, I don't know, it's pretty okay with slavery and women being third-class citizens.
I mean...
And that's not how we have evolved. So either we have evolved wrongly and we're living an ungodly life, or maybe we're just basing it on Bronze Age sensibilities.
This is a different thing, right? I mean, religious belief is very different than the structure of a country. But our country's changed. At its formation... Who could vote? White men who own land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Not women, nobody of color. And if you weren't a landowner, good luck. So we also qualified different groups of people as having less rights, right? Women did not have the right to vote. You know, black people did not have the right to vote and only counted as a third of a person. We adapted because we realized, yep, that's not great. That's not the right way to go. We are better off not doing that. And I know, again, I understand religious dogma is different than a 250-year-old country. It's just, it's kind of the point.
But it's not immune from logic.
No, that's my point. Right. That's exactly what I'm getting to. Right. Which is why I'm asking the question. Would you be better off with more people spreading the word that you want to spread? Would you be better off with more people wanting to join the priesthood or less? Because a lot of guys I know, I grew up in Catholic schools. I know a lot of guys that would have thought about going into the priesthood, but they did not want to give up the opportunity to have families.
Right. I'm just reading more about that. I just want to try to be fair because we are presenting like, they should just do it. But none of us are practicing Catholics, so we don't really, like, we're all kind of just speaking out of how we think it should be, right? Like,
yeah.
So apparently the church teaches that men and women are equal when it comes to dignity and value. They just possess distinct roles. And apparently the Catholic Church highlights the feminine genius, which is nurturing, intuition, collaboration, celebrating these more feminine traits or things that women typically, not always, but typically are thriving in. And the priesthood thing is just a separate, we only do men for this. Just like women are the only people who are nuns. I don't necessarily look at the situation and go it's oppressing women or women as second class citizens.
If we weren't having this discussion and I just started a conversation with you, Rach, and I told you what you just told me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I view men and women. We have different this, and you're very soft, and you're good at some things, but you're not like me, where you have authority. If I said that to you outside of religion, you probably wouldn't like me much.
I think it depends on the nature of the conversation, because people have different beliefs about that. And sometimes it applies and sometimes it doesn't, but I don't think it automatically is I don't know. Maybe it's a little arrogant to be like the church who has been doing this for thousands of years are just dead wrong and they have no reason to do it other than they don't think women are equal. Like, I don't know if that's the reason behind the decision.
Well, I know this. The church's leadership has handled scandals so poorly it couldn't have been done any worse if women were included in the leadership.
Okay.
I mean, you had generations of leadership cover up pedophiles.
That's not really what we're talking about.
What I'm questioning is the judgment of the leadership. The judgment of the cardinals and the bishops and the people who had positions of power who thought, well, women can't do this. This is a man's job. You failed. You guys did not do your job. You did not protect the people in your flock. And in fact, not only did you not protect them, you shifted the predators around without telling anybody, so more people were exposed. And now, is it everyone? Of course not. Of course not. I mean, my uncle who passed away is a Catholic priest, one of the greatest people I knew. I have an aunt that's passed away, was a nun. I have another aunt on my wife's side who is a nun. I am very cool with Catholics. But the message that we are the ones who know how to do things is clearly not correct. Because the ones that were in charge did not make the right calls when real world things came up. I'm not talking about matters of religious doctrine or dogma or belief. I'm talking about how you've done your job leading and protecting your flock. And to say that a certain group of people can't do that because they were born the wrong sex is really silly.
Good conversation.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Short segment here. We went really long on that one, which is also cool. We get to do that. We can kind of use the clock as we wanted. Dave Murray's going to join us at 3:35. The Think Tank, which if you're new to the show, we get a couple of people from opposite sides of the aisle who we think are still reasonable. And today is Steve Ellman and Steve Butts. Lots to talk about nationally and locally. A Crumble employee on TikTok says he got in trouble for telling customers that 148 grams of sugar in their new dirty sodas, quote, probably isn't the best for your health.
I mean, is he saying anything other than the obvious?
I guess you can't say the obvious if it goes against your employer.
Well, I guess, yeah.
I'm wondering if it was an unsolicited opinion type of thing. Like,
yeah, who's going to say, what do you think of this?
I'll take the crazy cousin soda. And he's like, this is going to send you into some sort of shock.
All of us shopping at Crumble know exactly what we're doing.
It's a good point.
It's very tasty, but we know it's not good for us.
Crumbles a bridge too far for me.
I'm the
too
same big? Way.
Like a little too expensive. Even a bite of a crumble cookie, I can feel the sugar on my teeth.
Okay.
I've never had one.
And I'm a sugar face.
I mean, they're good, but they're a lot.
Well, and I'm also like $6 for a cookie. Like, yeah. I'm sure it's great, but I'm fine. I got plenty of dollar cookies that I'm very, very happy with over here.
I've been happy with the cookies that I've eaten there. They're totally good, but yes, it's a lot of money.
Mother's right, she's really up on things.
Welcome back, DGS 336. Dave Murray brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Went to the game last night. Man, what a just
spectacular.
Picture perfect. Just gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially when you consider that we're almost out of the month of June.
I know.
Now that stuff is coming back.
Yeah.
Not right away, but it will be coming back.
You know who's not worried? Kevin Wheeler.
Nope.
Got a brand new AC system.
Yeah.
All right.
That boy.
Sit there eating his crumble cookies.
Dude. not in a big habit of it, but that sounds like a good plan.
Does. Absolutely does.
What's your guys' favorite kind of cookie?
You mean
kind
store?
Or store?
Kind. Like if you could have any kind.
I just love how we both jumped on that. Like,
we need details, Rach, because this is a very important question.
What are you asking us?
And I'm going to stake my reputation on this. I want to make sure I'm answering properly. Just a great big peanut butter cookie.
Mm.
Sugar on top. You can put other stuff in it, but it's not necessary. It's great just like that.
You're a little bit of a Nancy boy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
When it comes to my peanut butter cookies,
I'm a purist. I'm going straight chocolate chip.
Yeah.
You can dress it up if you want, but that's what I'm...
Oatmeal raisin for me.
All right.
Okay.
For some reason, I like that. I don't know why.
They're good.
Yeah, they are.
They're
good.
Legit good.
Andrew?
I like to eat Nancy boys. Doesn't that sound like a cookie?
Hey, let's do it.
Does.
Nancy Boys cookies.
It sounds like an amazing cookie.
It sounds better like the sound best like one.
I would buy those cookies.
That's my next tattoo.
We could probably charge $8 a cookie for Nancy Boys cookies.
I like all cookies, but right now I'm really craving like a cake cookie with pink icing. My grandma would make those for Valentine's Day. Oh, so good.
You could do Bubba Gump on cookies right now. Sugar cookies. And
what kind of cookies do you not like?
I don't like cookies that are all crunchy. I need the soft center.
Man, I think if you put a cookie in front of me, I'm probably taking a stab at it, no matter what it is.
If it's got coconut in it, I'm going to pass.
Yeah, my favorite cookie is a Malamar.
That's describe.
Those are great.
Yeah, and that just came to your head,
like,
right?
Sounded like JFK or RFK Jr. there.
JFK.
Like JFK now.
Yeah, like that's my JFK impression.
I love cookies.
He's always saying that.
Small. He's not going to eat cookies. They have sugar.
I love cookies.
They have like a graham cracker crust,
okay,
marshmallow. And it's coated in dark chocolate.
There you go.
Megan likes those.
Megan loves those because they usually, for some reason, most brands, they don't put milk in them.
We had those.
Okay. I guess dark chocolate and marshmallow.
In South Roxana, but the Hoosier version were pinwheels.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same idea. Yeah. Just shaped differently, right?
They're just a little bigger. Pinwheels are bigger.
Do they have the marshmallows in the pinwheels?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, marshmallows,
The difference is Malamar's is made with real dark chocolate, so they only ship in the wintertime.
Interesting.
You can't get them in the summertime.
We knew we'd have a way to class it up.
Somebody to let us
like
know.
I have them flown in.
We're not Malamar worthy.
Dave's like, trust me, I'm pretty sure you've never had a real Malamar.
They don't sell them to people like you.
You wouldn't. Let's just say you wouldn't be able to get them.
Yeah, when I said the pinwheel thing, Dave's like, oh, pinwheels are great for you. Yeah.
That's really nice.
That's a great starter cookie. That's a great budget starter cookie.
Fantastic.
Well, they're pretty expensive too.
My dogs love pinwheels.
Oh man, you gotta start a war there.
Do the dogs ever get any human food, Dave?
All the time.
What's their favorite thing?
But they don't get chocolate.
Of course.
No, that's not good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they love is a banana.
Oh,
they absolutely love bananas.
Huh.
watermelon.
It's banana time. Now I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, banana time.
It's banana now
time. Every morning. Let's come out. We're going downstairs. It's banana time.
I have a dog that will literally eat.
I forgot about banana time.
Dog sitting for rain and snowflake, and the only instruction is just says, don't forget banana time.
Banana That's time. Right. I have a dog that will sit there and just eat spinach if you give it to him.
Really?
He will eat anything. Vegetable, fruit, you name it, he'll eat it. And he begs for it. He loves it. Lettuce. Loves lettuce.
He's a little
he's a
Popeye.
Goof.
Sailor
yeah,
man.
He's a goof, man. I've never had a dog that would eat vegetables other than carrots. Like, they like carrots because they're crunchy and they're kind of sweet.
Big.
But I've never had another dog before in my life that will eat literally anything.
Does Lucy have a favorite food?
Ice cream.
Okay.
And like whipped cream. Anything creamy.
Yeah,
she gets a little aggressive, actually.
Do they have a cat version of like popsicles?
Not that I've ever seen.
It's just the same thing, basically. Like, if you go get a pup cup from Starbucks, it's just like whipped cream.
No, I'm talking about like the brands in the store, but yeah, I'm sure it's just the same thing, right?
Yeah. Gigi loves French fries and tortilla chips.
All right. Mm.
She will like take those out of your mouth while you're eating them. Like, she's obsessed with them.
There's a lot of disturbing stories.
And mayonnaise. Yeah. She loves mayonnaise. Apparently it's because so cats are very sensitive.
How did she get mayonnaise?
You drop some mayonnaise and she goes crazy for it.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Duh.
Apparently
you don't have a mayonnaise puddle at your house.
Apparently it's because cats are very
slipping on mayo.
Cats are very sensitive to fat. So like mayonnaise has a lot of fat content in it, and like French fries have a lot of fat to them.
So they like fat.
Yeah. They love it. It's their favorite.
Mm.
They'd love a Malamar.
Can't identify.
They'd love a Malamar.
Too bad she's a Godfrey cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we're not getting Malamars.
Yeah.
I tell her that every day.
Dave, when...
Daddy can't afford Malamars, baby. I'm sorry.
Daddy can't afford Malamars.
Dave, have you ever given any of your dogs like chocolate cake when it was their time? Like we gave Augie chocolate cake as they were putting him down.
No, but I know
it's the worst
I have
banana time ever.
I have made some special meals for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Beef Wellington.
that would be worth it. They'd be happy.
A nice dry red.
Yeah.
Then they look at you going like
did you get this from Gordon Ramsay?
Were you whining the dog bowl?
That's how they roll in Laguna. Oh, funny. I love how we can take each other down sociologically.
So easily.
Yeah. So easily. Yeah, going both ways.
That's what friends are for.
Oh, well, right. If I'm poor, you're rich, then okay. Dave, how are we looking rest of the week?
Yeah, we're getting back into an unsettled stretch. It's not tonight. Tonight's beautiful again. Beautiful evening. There could be a shower or a thunder shower here and there tomorrow, but overall, partly sunny day. Still nice, 84 degrees. No real problems Wednesday night. Thursday night, and Friday, a slow-moving cool front moves in. It kind of gets stuck, and then it washes out. So we're going to see periods of rain and thunderstorms Thursday night, Friday. Some heavy rain possible. It's not a real severe weather setup, but heavy rain is possible again. Mid-80s. Then we go quiet for the weekend. Saturday, we start to warm up. Still not extreme. Partly sunny, 89 degrees. Sunday, sunny. The afternoon, we should hit 95. And that continues Monday and at least Tuesday of next week. It's going to be around for a couple of days.
Okay. Dave, what's the worst day for a game this week? What evening? Does Thursday look especially?
Yeah, Thursday evening game. Is it an evening game or is it a day game?
Evening game.
Okay. That'll be a tough one.
Okay.
That'll be tough to get in.
Okay.
That could be a rain out.
I would hate to have a doubleheader on Friday.
Well, Friday's that would
be
Friday's
it won't be. It's a different series.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. So
thwarted again.
Yeah. They're either gonna really start that, they might change the start time. If it looks really terrible, they could go early in the day on Thursday because Arizona does not want to come back to town later in the year because they don't come back.
Now
the problem is that the rain will be around off and on day. Much of the day on Thursday, so they don't have a lot of windows there.
No, they do not.
Can you change that?
But they'll hold it.
Yeah, Dave, can you put it in
a call?
Can we submit a ticket?
For a Malamar, absolutely.
Yeah, there's some Malamars in it
there's
for you.
There's some Malamars in it for you if you can put in a word.
Don't tell them that. We don't know how to get those. Don't make promises we can't keep.
He'll see right through us.
He knows we can't get them.
Keebler doesn't make Malamars.
I think it's Nabisco. I think Nabisco makes.
It would be some way unheard of.
We don't get Nabisco here.
Didn't Sue go to a summer camp sponsored by Nabisco?
Yeah, and she had Cookie Crisp for breakfast every morning.
Oh, that's
and that's why she doesn't like Cookie Crisp.
Dude, Cookie Crisp was pretty good though.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but Cookie Crisp outside in like humid 90 degree morning.
Every morning for like the 6 weeks she was there.
Sounds like heaven.
I love Sue. Yeah, she's the best. Like, I don't know. That's like such an amazing story. Yeah.
So many
Sue, why
things
don't you
like that.
Cookie Crisp? It's so delicious.
So many things like that have happened to Sue.
Yeah.
Like
<she's> had. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Kev, what did you read about George Washington that pissed you off?
It wasn't about him. It's more about how people play this weird game of like, what would George Washington think of this modern thing that we have to deal with? And it's such a silly game to play because he wouldn't understand many of the things that were there that we're dealing with. But this guy was there was somebody who made this point on Twitter. It was, imagine having to explain to George Washington that America can't prevent illegal aliens from voting. And then a historian chimed in and said, well, in George Washington's time, there were no American citizens at the beginning. Nobody was a citizen. You were British citizens. And so therefore, you would have been, he wouldn't have had a concept of what we're talking about, because everybody in the country at that time was either pretty close to an immigrant or within a generation or two. It wasn't that long. I mean, I know it was longer than I'm giving it, but you get what I'm saying. And that they wouldn't have seen the world the same way because it wasn't the same way. We didn't have 250 years of history. We didn't have what we would now call Americans. Everybody then was still something else and adapting to a, quote, new land, you know, the new world, so to speak. But then it just made me think about, like, why do we do this? Why do we play this game where we're like, what would the founding fathers think of whatever the thing is in 2026, they would be blown away because they wouldn't understand any of it because they don't have the 250 years of context in between then and now, which is why we have changed things as we've gone, because we've learned things they could not have possibly known. And I just wonder why we do this. Mm-hmm. Why do we play that other than like a just for giggles exercise? It's like, boy, wouldn't it blow their minds to see this? I mean, like, okay, if it's an entertaining thing, but if you think you're making a real point, you're really not, because nobody 250 years ago could conceive of any of this.
And it's also the implication that, like, well, whatever they say is the right answer. And it's like, that why is it that this group of men, like, they could, there's no way they could have ever gotten it wrong, so we have to keep looking at things through their lens forever? Like, that we wouldn't really apply that to anything else.
No, I think the founding fathers deserve a great deal of respect and appreciation, but they're not religious figures.
No.
Right. That's a good way
to
put it.
They were just men.
It's also such a weird thing to do, to take a modern concept and try to make someone from that far back and make it seem like they would have a take on it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. They'd be confused. They wouldn't understand most of these things.
Yep.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.